Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning. I come from Melbourne, where it's beautiful 1 minute, not so perfect the next minute. And my wife, I spoke to her this morning, and she goes, it's beautiful at the moment, sunny. And I spoke to her for about 2 or 3 minutes, and by the end of the third minute, it was overcast and just started to drizzle. So we have it a little bit different here. You have nice weather all the time, isn't that right? Yeah, so it must get boring. It must get really boring just to have that type of thing. I have to thank Rochelle and for David for allowing me to come and speak to you. I don't take this lightly. It's such a privilege being able to use your platform and to share with this church, this community. I love the idea of our friend going to missions overseas. I've sent my sons on missions trips just to challenge them and to have a conviction of where they're at, because sometimes we take so much for granted. We take so much for granted, and then when you get that face-to-face with poverty I've been to India a couple of times, and to see the warmth and the passion they have for the things of God, and we should be shamed sometimes. There was that song that they sang at Calvary. I saw my father die for me. We need to have that humility of just the goodness and grace of God. The only reason why I'm just sort of moved, I listened to a podcast early this morning, because the trouble is coming from Melbourne to Perth, and I arrived last evening, is there's 3 hours time difference. I'm an early riser. So I was up at 3 o'clock this morning. So you try and force yourself to sleep, but that isn't always successful. So then I was thinking and thinking and thinking, and the trouble is when you're thinking, then you don't sleep, and it's this vicious cycle. And I've been challenged with my son, who's he's 21 years of age, and he's been really convicted about how we, in our sort of comfortable middle-class environments, how we can have so much zeal. And I love Big Kev here talking about the lost and reaching the lost. And that's really important. We need to do that. But I was also challenged, the fact is that we need to do things, justice-orientated things, but we still need to keep the reverence of God uppermost in our minds. Because we can do all this, and we can forget this. And I'd also challenge you, my friend, who's just been overseas, don't allow the things that you saw and take it for granted. Allow the God to birth within your spirit to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will not just take that for granted anymore, that you will combine the justice, doing things for the poor, but also have the purity of mind to actually have a convicted and a transformed mind in everything that we do. Amen. We talk about missions going overseas. Well, focus on the family's mission is here in Australia. There are so many things going on in our world, and right now there's a lot going on in Australia. It's amazing the tension that's caused with the same-sex marriage thing, and I'm not going to be talking about that this morning, but I'm going to be talking about sex in the second service, so there should be double the amount of people, you know, like that. So I'm going to be talking about sex, and then I'm also doing the men's breakfast next week, and I'm also going to be applying, it's called Secret Men's Business. And I'm going to be talking about a little bit more about, in more depth about sexuality, but I'm also going to talk about work-life balance as well, and how to be role models and men of God. So that's all what's coming up. The challenge that we have as I said, in this culture in Australia, is that there is so much going on, and it's hard to keep up to date. I don't know about you, but I get lots of emails from 3 or 4 different organisations, all saying they're roughly the same thing. We have such a privilege at the moment, and if you haven't voted, I would encourage you to vote. I'll never tell you how to vote, but I will tell you to be informed. Be well informed about the decisions that we make. And it's our responsibility and our privilege to be able to have our say. But I have to say, this is one of the things that I was challenged by today, and I'm going off a bit off of tangent here, but I just felt like reading this verse. It comes from 2 Timothy. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. The reason why I'm feeling a bit convicted about the moment is because that is not for those out in the world. That's for us here in the church. And we can actually have all the right things to say and do, but we can have diametrically opposing lives. We can do one thing on a Sunday, but other things in another different. And we are to be His image. We are to be His image bearers. And that's what I'd like to share with you today about being image bearers. And I'm mindful of the time and I've got with you, but I'm going to just ask for God to help me do this as the best I can. Lord, I am so privileged to come and share your word today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, help me and inspire me, motivate me and encourage me and empower me and challenge me so that I can be your conduit here. And even if this message is just for me, I am really challenged by this. And I pray a blessing upon our time today in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen. I was going to show you a video, and I'm not going to now. I just feel like I'm just going to go through there. But we are known as the image bearers. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. And just, it's a simple verse, but it's the power of everything that we do. Chapter 1, verses 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I am created by nature. Could you just imagine just for a moment when God created us? Just think about that. God doesn't make mistakes. So you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he created us to be his image bearers. The Imago Dei. The Imago Dei. I am, despite our flaws, despite our mistakes, despite our imperfections. And I went to the bathroom just before, and on the poster there it says, come as you are, because we're not perfect. If we're looking for perfection, we've failed miserably. But God, in his infinite wisdom, uses you and I as his image bearers. And that verse that I shared before you in Timothy, it's talking about how we fall so short, but yet God sees us as his image bearers. Now, I don't know if you've got an equivalent in Perth, but in Melbourne, they just had the Royal Melbourne Show. I remember when I went, I was about 10 years of age, and I didn't want to go to see the animals. I wanted to go on the rides, and I wanted to go and get the show bags with all the food and junk and all that type of stuff. And my dad said, no, we're going to go and see the dog show. Dog show? I don't want to go dog show. I want to go to all those fun things. No. He says, no, Brett, come to the dog show with new eyes. I said, all right. I went to the... And he says to me as we're going into, he goes, hey, have a look at the owners and their dogs. My eyes were opened. I looked and I was thinking, they're the same. So I went to Dr. Google and I found all these things that you might be able to benefit from. Dogs and their owners. Curly hair, and this is my favorite. And then there's always one more. Have you ever also heard the expression, they're just like their father, their spitting image? They're spinning. Well, these are my sons. Now, I've got three sons, 23, 21, and 19, and they have my DNA. When we talk about the image of me, I hope that's just not the physical attributes, because poor them, but I hopefully they're acquiring other images of me, my character, my demeanor, and the way that I treat my wife, the way that I am with others, that's the image that I want to portray on them. And that's what we're going to be talking about when we talk about the image of God. It's not our physical attributes, but it's also the characteristics of God. My eldest son has just got engaged himself a few weeks ago. And in fact, it's actually interesting because I was a children's pastor for many, many years. And this young lady, I started a new campus and I had to lead this new campus to get it up and started from the main campus. And so I didn't have any leaders. So I trained all these leaders and she was one of my leaders. And I invested a lot of time in her from the ages of 13 to 15. And I remember saying to her mum, I said, "Do you believe in arranged marriages?" My son was 12 at the time. She goes, "Yes." Now, my son had never met her, really. Knew of her, but never had met her. And then only at the beginning of this year, they met and fell in love. And I feel like I'm part of it. I have two other sons, so if you'd like to send your CVs and resumes to me, I'd be more than happy to peruse them and have a look at those things. But this picture of my sons there is that it's where they're in my image, but it's not just the physical attributes, as I said. And we are made in the image of God. And it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And all of us have had that veil removed so that you can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of God. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more." That's a challenge for all of us. We reflect His glory more and more. And as Pastor David was sharing at the beginning, he goes, "I'm glad that God took all of our sins." Because how can we really reflect the glory of God when we are so imperfect? But that doesn't mean that we can't try and acquire those type of things that are the attributes of God. Throughout the history, the God is often depicted as male. And I've been to arts galleries all over the world and I love history. I love historical things in museums. And you go into some of the museums in Europe and you find Jesus or God and depicted in various forms. And here's a couple of pictures. He's this old man with a big bushy beard. And another times it's, Michelangelo had those type of things. And then we have the modern type of version of God, of a black person. If anyone's read The Shack or seen the movie, it's depicted as a female black person. We all have different images. And in fact, in my life group that I had led last week, I actually said to the group, I said, "How do you picture God when you pray? What type of image do you have?" And if we had some time, I'd love to be able to have that conversation. And it'd be something to really discuss in your small groups. And I encourage you to be in a small group in community. But this idea of how do you and who do you picture when you go and pray to God? I'm even more convicted about how trivial our prayers can be at times. We always pray for what's for me. Help me. Do something for me or do something for somebody else. That's to make you feel a little bit better about yourself. But there's also that other aspect is that we come before a loving and caring and we're meant to be in awe inspired of who God is. How do you picture Him? Gary Larson, one of my favorite cartoonists, had a picture of God like this. And he pushes the smite on these things. And sometimes people have an image of God similar to that, that God is there to punish. I remember when I was 10 years of age, and in our family, we never swore. And one day I hurt myself. I don't remember what I did, and I don't remember what I said, but I do remember that I swore. And I felt like this lightning bolt was going to come out of the sky and strike me dead. Never happened, but I had that fear. It wasn't a healthy fear. It was a scared fear. And sometimes people who haven't had a really good earthly father can actually have difficulties relating to a heavenly father because they don't know how that looks, how that imagery. There's so much more that we should understand about the Father God and how we are His representatives. We are His ambassadors, wherever we may be. And that's a challenge. You know one of the greatest things that we can do to be His ambassadors? I'm going to give you the secret right now. Watch this. Everyone do it one more time. Just go. You need a little help there, Fritz. Sorry. Just simply like this. Just smile. There's got to be something attractive about us. And I know for a fact that Jesus was smiley. I know that for a fact. Because it said the kids used to run up to Him. Kids don't run up to grumpy people. Sometimes I think some people I know who call themselves Christians look like they've sucked on lemon juice too long. We are His ambassadors. It's got to be something attractive. Now, it wasn't His looks, because it says in Isaiah, it talks about there was nothing attractive to Him. But there was something in His spirit that was attractive. But I think the first thing they see about our attractive spirit is our smile. We often go through the motions and we don't realize how much we can be His ambassadors. But we also have to take into consideration that often all those images that I shared in the artwork to picture God as a male. But that's only because man has tried to put in his a box, in an image of what God looks like. But God is beyond that. God has male and female characteristics. He is genderless. That's a statement. You don't hear that often in church, do you? Because we talk about Him being our heavenly Father. We don't hear Him talked about as our heavenly Mother. But yet the Bible infiltrates this, and I'm going to unpack this a little bit more, how we have male characteristics and female characteristics in God. But God is a spirit, so therefore He is genderless. But yet He, in the beginning, when that verse in chapter 1, verse 27, we are made in His image. But as we're not talking about the physical attributes, although there's some commentators that say physical attributes, but there's also the main thing is about His attributes, His characteristics. It goes on to say that in when we talk about the God being our Father, sometimes, as I said, people have that difficulty of relating to a caring, loving, and considerate Father. And as focus on the family, we're all about trying to empower and strengthen relationships and strengthen families and be the very best they can be. Unfortunately, people aren't doing that well. And I could give you a whole lot of series of examples of how the church, I think, has failed in a lot of areas of being godly husbands and godly wives and godly fathers and godly mothers. I was actually just, I stopped off to get a yogurt at McDonald's this morning for breakfast. And on the TV this morning was, there's been a 40% increase of infidelity by females in the last 20 years. And they're running, so it's not just, a lot of people picture men being the ones that are unfaithful, but there's females. So somewhere along the line, we have drifted away from God's ideal and that we are not showing the image of God that we're supposed to do in everything that we do. And that's the reason why those verses, we can start pointing the finger and looking everywhere else outside of society, but we have to keep the mirror close to our own face and see how we're going in our relationship with Him. And are we being the very best image of our great God? Another thing that actually the scriptures talk about in a masculine form, it talks about that God is like the husband. And it says in our Hosea in chapter 2, verse 16, 19, for those who are writing notes, it said, God jealously guards His relationships with His people like a good husband loves and protects his wife. The analogy there? But unfortunately, I get phone calls and emails from women who their husband may profess to become called a Christian, but their lifestyle is far from it. They're not loving, they're not caring, they're not protecting. And this young couple who got engaged, congratulations, I highly recommend it. I have just turned professional in the last couple of years, actually, as a because after 25 years, you become professional. And I'm 27 years married, and I'm really professional at it now. Still working on it. But the fact is, it is something that we actually have the privilege of being His image bearers, both male and female. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about the female. As I said, that God has feminine characteristics, and you don't see that very much. We sort of focus on the masculine aspect, but not the feminine. God has attributes that both men and women uniquely image. There's some things that men do better, and there's something that women do better. But yet, we are equal in God's eyes. And that's something to be really remembered, especially as those who are called according to His purposes. But it says, and I'm just going to go through a couple of verses here, the feminine qualities of God. God comforts His people like a mother comforts her child. Like a woman would never forget her nursing child, God will not forget His children. God is like a mother eagle hovering over her young. God seeks the lost like a housekeeper, trying to find her lost coin. God cares for His people like a midwife that cares for the child that just delivered. God experienced the fury of a mother bear robbed of her cubs, and Jesus longed for the people of Jerusalem like a mother hen longing to gather her chicks under her wings. Now, this may come as a bit of a shock for some people, because we always picture, and I know I picture, quite often when I pray, I'm picturing an image that I have been programmed to think like. But as I said to you before, like I think God was smiley. Have you seen those old movies about Jesus? And He looks like He needs to wash His hair, have a good meal, and He looks like He's on drugs or something because He's got bags under His eyes and gets some sleep. I actually picture God being tanked. He had muscles on His muscles because He was a carpenter. And He was smiley. Those two things are really important to remember. Because there was something that the kids used to go up to Him. But I have also seen, that's the male type of thing, but I've seen firsthand with my wife nurturing my three young men. Those qualities that it has seen that she has been uniquely gifted that I can't have, that she's been able to do that. And don't mess with a mama bear. Has any mums here would know relate to that? I could see you. You would be really tough. Don't mess with your kids. Man, whoa. Don't mess with your kids when the mama bear's around. She will tear you limb from limb. But even that is sort of passionate about how we should image God. He is passionate about His people. He is passionate about His children, you and I. We should be fiercely defending ourselves from the attacks. And obviously, there is a great attack. And when we're talking about the attack, we're talking the attack from outside and within our communities. But we are to have the male and female attributes of God. The other things that I have to remember when you're talking about this idea of image and likeness, as there's many commentators, as I said, who sort of can get a lot of controversy about what it actually meant to be the image or the likeness of God. And I'm not going to bore you with all the nuances of that. But one thing that I do know, and I've just done some thing, is the fact that we are in His image enables us to have intelligence. It's enabled us to have give and receive love. It's to be known and to be known, to think and to rationale, to be have community and relationship, and to have reason, and to show mercy, kindness, and compassion. And now I could unpack each one of those and spend a lot of time on that. But the fact is that we are His image bearers. We can have all these things at our disposal. We can think, we can rationalize, we can show mercy and compassion, we can show intelligence, we can be loved and we can show love. But how is that being shown amongst the people that you interact with? If you were to do a sort of like an audit on yourself, how are you going at your image-bearing levels? I don't know how you can judge that this side of eternity. We've got a long way to short, but even that convicts me, that challenges me, that actually makes me feel, hey, I've got so much more to do when it comes to these type of things. And the other side of thing is that, and this is something I'm very, very passionate about, regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of economic status, and regardless of ability, everyone has dignity and everyone has value. The way that we treat those around us, we judge so quickly. And I talk about, you know, never judge someone until you walk a mile in their shoes. So, so important. I recall some years ago, I was, this is when my boys were little, I was in a store, and it was a kids' wear store, and I was just watching the kids play on the playground. My wife was doing the rounds, and I stayed. I was being a good husband. And did you hear that? He just started laughing. Goodness me. I'll talk to you later. Anyway, I was standing there, and then there was a little girl in a wheelchair. She would have been about 8 or 9 years of age. Her body was quite crippled. She probably had a severe cerebral palsy. And she couldn't communicate. But I felt just to talk to her. And my background, I was a nurse for 15 years, so it comes naturally to me to talk to people like that. So I don't want to make anyone feel like you have to go and talk to everyone, but this is just me. And I was just talking, and I just said, oh, you out here shopping with your mummy and daddy? Yeah, it's a pretty dress you're wearing. I like how your hair is looking great here. And then her dad came and got the wheelchair and then just pushed her away. And I said, I just want to thank you so much for allowing me to speak to your daughter. I just love chatting with her. And then he started crying. Now, I'm the sharpest tool in the shed. And I said to my wife, I can't believe I was just showing kindness to his daughter. And he started crying. She said, it's because you treated her, his daughter, like any other daughter. Everyone has dignity. Everyone has value. And even that, we can see God's perfection in this imperfection. There is so much we can learn from people with different able abilities. I had met a young lady when I was in primary school. This is when, not I was in primary school, I was the chaplain at a school. And her name was Kimberly. And she was completely blind in a state school where I was a chaplain. And some 20 years later, I met a young lady who now come and volunteers at a place where I work. And her name was Kim Black. Her name was Kimberly Black, but I didn't put the two together. She looked completely different some 20 years later. And then I put it all two together. I just had a chat with her and I said, I used to know, hang on, you're her. She said, yes. And now she commits her life to, you know, volunteers at a Christian organization and types things up. She's using her abilities, and now she's going to Bible college as well. And if you want to see some amazing testimonies, I'd go to CBM Luke 14 and that website there, and it's got some amazing testimonies of people with cerebral palsy or spina bifida or something like that, declaring their love for God and how much joy it brings when they worship Him. And then getting baptized. We are made in His image. Even in imperfections, we seek God's perfection. So how do we put this all together? How do we do this better? How do we become more like Christ? How do we become more like His image? Well, there's a couple of things. And I never assume that any time anyone comes to any church service. You can come to church all your life, but you never really connect with a Heavenly Father in your heart. We are to be His image bearers, which means we are to be His imitators. Imitators of God. Imitators of who He is and how that looks and shapes. And so be something that you need to imitate. It says in Ephesians, it goes on to Ephesians 2, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, put on the new nature created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and in holiness. despite we are imperfect, we are all in a work in progress. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Well, I don't profess to being perfect in any shape or form, but the greatest compliment that I have ever, ever received in my whole history of ministry was from a six-year-old boy. And I was walking around as the school chaplain, and I was just walking around the school, and this little six-year-old boy just followed me everywhere I went. I went left, he went left. I went right, he went right. He just kept on running around. And at the end of the lunchtime, he goes, "Hey, Brett." I said, "Yeah, mate, what's going on?" He goes, "Are you Jesus?" Yeah. Greatest compliment I've ever had. I said, "No, I'm not Jesus, but I'm pretty close." No, it's because I said Jesus' birthday on the 25th of December. I'm the 24th of December, so we're pretty close. But in his world, I was the closest thing to Jesus that he was ever going to get to, until he has his own understanding of who God is. You and I are Jesus wherever you may be. In your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your schools, and in particularly in your families. What are people seeing? What are people watching? What are they observing? What are they hearing when it comes to this image of God? And in the time remaining, this is three things how we can become more closer and to be more Christ-like in our relationship with God. One is our full surrender to God. And as I said to you, you might be here for the very first time, or you might have been here lots of times, but you've never actually surrendered your life to God, but you want to be more Christ-like. You might think, you know, we need to recognize that we are sinners, we are fallen people, and we need freedom from the sin. And then finally, we need to actually grow in our faith. My favorite chapter in the Bible is Romans 12, where it talks about we are living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. So we need to fully surrender our wants, our desires, our wants. And, you know, we're so me-focused in our society. We actually just have to say, I am fully surrendering my life to God. And I heard this, and this is from one of my son's friends. Because I talk about, you know, like we talk about Lord and Savior, and a lot of people want the get out of jail freed card to get the Savior part, but they don't want to give the Lord part. And this young man says, it's like they want the reward without giving being the Lord. I thought, how cool is that? They want the reward without making him the Lord. We need to fully surrender our lives to God. We need to encourage ourselves to be fully devoted to of Jesus Christ. And then we need to know that once we've given that junk to God, we are freed from that. But doesn't mean that's once done and dusted. We have to continually take up our cross daily, because we fall so short so many times. But we dust ourselves up and go, God, please forgive me. Those wrong thoughts, those wrong actions, those wrong words. And I start afresh, because I am free from sin. And then I need to grow. And the only way you're going to do these things, is to be steadily growing. And I am so challenged by this, because I am miserable when it comes to some of these things, because I know that I am fallen and I'm not worthy at times. But yet, God is in infinite wisdom and says, for those who are called according to his purpose, we have an opportunity to be his ambassadors wherever we may be. We live in a fast-paced world, and we go very fast, and we go, hey, how are you? We don't really stop and ask what people, how they're really going. But really, if you look at someone in the eyes and you say, how are you really? Look out what people say. I think written on my forehead is, please tell me your life story. Because people share the most intimate thoughts when you spend the time, because I am there as his ambassador. I am there, and I need to make sure that as I go about my day, that there's something about me. There's got to be something different about us, of those who are called according to his purpose and being his ambassadors. So these verses I shared with you before, and I'm going through these quickly. But this one, but I grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory by now and forever. We need to grow in our understanding of him, but understanding of his grace and his mercy. And if we get this right, then we have the opportunities of doing that in everywhere. And our kids are watching. They're watching dads, how they interact with mum. You're setting them up for success. And this is where Focus on the Family comes about. We're trying to help people be better at what they can do. Be a better husband, be a better wife, better mother, father, better son, better daughter, better child of God in everything that we do, because our kids are watching. And I love this statement that I had. Children are great imitators, so give them something great to imitate. When you see kids, they're watching, observing all the time. And sometimes it's not your kids that are watching, it's anyone else's kids. What are you showing? And we're on 24/7, by the way. 24/7 we are on. Because the home is really the first glimpse of God. The home life. It should be a haven. It should be a place where everyone is together. In a healthy environment, this is what it means to be an image of God. I mentioned before about this idea that we're always a work in progress. And quite often when you hear people say, what did you do today? I go, oh, nothing. Anyone heard that? Oh, so busy. I'm so flat out. Oh, I did everything. Oh, so busy doing all this stuff. You know what the greatest thing we could actually say to people when someone actually asks us, what did you do today? You say, I imaged God today. I imaged God today. I imaged God today. If you were to be, and I know you may have heard this before, if someone accused you of being a Christian, would you have enough evidence to convict you? And that's a challenge for all of us. And I've been really challenged by this morning. I've been messing with my head about this. How to land this thing, because I don't feel worthy enough to really come and share, because I feel so short of what God's ideal for me is. And I want to do so well. I want to be His image bearers. But, you know, if there's enough evidence to convict you, and that's the reason why I like to, as the musicians come, is to actually challenge you. And it might be, there'll be some people who have never actually made that decision to fully surrender their life to God. They've never actually been confronted with that decision. Or alternatively, you might have actually made that decision, but you've drifted from being a fully surrendered life to God. And if that's you, I'm going to ask, just, you know, I'm going to close in that this moment just to pray. But also to the challenge for us as His kids and His ambassadors, His representatives, His image bearers, our Imago Dei. How are you going? How are you going? Let me pray right now. Eyes closed. Father God, I just thank you so much for the privilege of being your image bearers. I pray, Holy Spirit, just work on us, convict us, challenge us, and empower us to be more like you in every way. But we know that we need to have a fully surrendered life to God. We need to be dead to sin, and we need to grow in you. But Lord, I know there's some people here that may have never made that decision. And maybe today is the day. Maybe today is the day. I don't know. But you know. And they know that their life is not going as well as it had planned, or they may have been made some decision right now. I'm just going to ask right now, if that's you and you need to make a decision, and you know you're far from God, but you want to have a greater understanding of who God is, just look up at me and I will just pray for you. You can put your hand up if you like, just to convict that. I want to make sure that we give plenty of opportunity for that. And maybe those people, if it's no first timers, there might be some people, or for all of us. And if you might just stand to your feet right now, just stand, everyone stand to your feet. Maybe you've not been the image of God, the ideal that you would like to be. Maybe you're not being the best husband you possibly can be. Or maybe you haven't been the best father you could possibly be. Maybe you haven't been the best wife or mother. Or maybe you're just in doing things in private, in your singleness. There's so many different things that we can do to exemplify a loving and gracious father, and we've fallen so short. Maybe anything that I share with you, you may be challenged and convicted. I pray by the Holy Spirit that you come to an understanding of who God is in a much more stronger and more powerful way. God loves you so very much. When that song, when it said on Calvary, what he did for us, you and me, I pray, Holy Spirit, you just come before us now. Holy Spirit, come right now. Flow into our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, come before us now. We want to be drawn to you in a far more powerful way, to be more Christ-like, to be more God-like, to be your image bearers. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you do whatever you need to do to challenge, convict, and to restore and to start something afresh. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, fill us with your love. Fill us with your mercy. Fill us with your grace. Fill us with your love so that we can go out and image God today. I pray for that, Lord, in your precious, most wonderful name. Amen. Amen.